This is the Steve Gruber Show. Sitting in today for Steve is Scott Bertram.
A great big happy birthday to Joe Walsh. I think an underrated musician, an underrated rock star. Joe Walsh is 71 years old today. Turn to Stone, that's the song we hear right there. Of course, Joe Walsh active with the James Gang and their hits Funk 49 and Walk Away. Then a solo career where you probably know Rocky Mountain Way and Life's Been Good. Then a span with the Eagles, which continues to this day. Joined them for the Hotel California album, and then Long Run. And when they reunited in 1994, he came back and is still with them, even though it's, Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt, and Glenn Frey. And then, of course, I'm sorry, and Don Henley. Glenn Frey, of course, has passed, and they kicked Don Felder out. But Joe Walsh is still going strong and touring this summer. Or this past summer on a bill. 71 years old for Joe Walsh. There's a greatest hits collection called Look What I Did with Joe Walsh that encompasses his James Gang stuff and his solo work, not his Eagle stuff, but it's outstanding. There is not a bum track on that greatest hits disc, which makes sense. It's a greatest hits disc, but I'm just telling you, it's good stuff. And for late career heroics, you know, he fake ran for president a time or two, you know, vote for me, Joe Walsh, and had a song, I think in 1991, called Ordinary Average Guy, which is pretty darn good. Nearly killed himself by drugs and alcohol addiction before he got sober before the Eagles reunion in 94. And his partying and hotel trashing is legendary. But Joe Walsh, one of my favorites, Joe Walsh, we heard Turned to Stone. He's 71 years old today. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. This is the Steve Gruber Show, stevegruber.com for exclusive content, giveaways, and much more. By the way, after Thanksgiving, of course, Black Friday. And friends at Total Firearms with some holiday deals. They're open Friday at 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and some special holiday deals happening only on Friday. 10% off all used firearms, 20% off any rod and reel combo, $50 off any new muzzle loader. They've got a whole bunch of sale items, but only on Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Mason, 1380 North Cedar Street. You can find out more online, TotalFirearmsGunShop.com, TotalFirearmsGunShop.com. We do have a moment or two here to talk about the David French piece on Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp in Georgia. And a few things going to Stacey Abrams' arguments here. If Georgia's Brian Kemp is a vote suppressor, he's the least successful vote suppressor alive. Turnout in Georgia was immense. Now listen to these numbers. It's hard to do numbers on the radio, I know. In the previous gubernatorial election, Republican Nathan Deal won with 1.3 million votes. In November, this month, Abrams lost with 1.9 million votes. 2.5 million total votes cast in 2014. In 2018, 3.9 million Georgians voted. That almost matches the total cast for president in 2016. So more people went to vote on both sides. Stacey Abrams had far more votes than her Democrat opponent did Democrat colleague had 4 years ago. 55% of eligible Georgians voted. Now, to some of the allegations, right? Pending registrations that she talked about. Every pending voter still could vote. They have to show up at the polling place with an ID that's a match with the voter registration record. Long lines and closed precincts that Abrams talked about, they don't have anything to do with Kemp. Precincts are controlled by local officials, not the Secretary of State. It was true, some voters sat in long lines, and yes, some voting machines sat unused. Do you know why the voting machines went unused? Take a guess. Was it Brian Kemp, evil Brian Kemp, saying you can't use those machines? Well, it turns out that those voting machines were unused because Democrat activists filed a lawsuit arguing the machines were vulnerable to tampering or hacking. 550 voting machines in Cobb County sequestered because of an order by U.S. District Judge Amy Totenberg, who is an Obama appointee, that called for preservation of evidence in a lawsuit seeking to move Georgia from electronic voting machines to paper ballots. So Democrat activists said that those machines were vulnerable to tampering or hacking. They took them out of service, and it wasn't evil Brian Kemp. I'm sorry. Well, let me go to the first paragraph from David French. When is it acceptable to question the legitimacy of an American election outcome? The proper answer is almost never. Or more precisely, never do it without overwhelming evidence of fraud or misconduct that is substantial enough to alter the outcome of the election. The person claiming decisive fraud or vote suppression bears a heavy burden of proof. Any other standard risks contributing to an already toxic political environment that is leaving all too many voters paranoid and susceptible to believing unverified and inflammatory conspiracy theories. Applying this standard, it is past time for Democrats to dial back their rhetoric about the Georgia gubernatorial election. Reckless for Hillary Clinton to declare that if Stacey Abrams had a fair election, she already would have won. Absurd for both Cory Booker and Sherrod Brown to say the election was stolen. Indeed, the claim is rapidly becoming conventional wisdom in parts of the left. In the words of the nation's Joan Walsh, they believe the system was rigged against her. Look, we put both those cuts up at the top of the hour. I'll probably play them again after 8 because I think they're so incredible. Stacey Abrams, 2 days before the election, had no issues with what was happening in Georgia voting and said that, in fact, what was happening was helping her, and now says that Brian Kemp spent 8 years systematically dismantling democracy in Georgia. She has no evidence. And the media that, of course, now, you know, the funny CNN Chiron, you know, Trump does this without evidence, or Trump did this, Trump says this didn't happen, won't call out Stacey Abrams for making these arguments without any evidence whatsoever that they actually occurred. This, I hate doing, you know, the whataboutism, of course, but a Republican would never, ever, ever get away with anything like this. They'd be smacked down by the media so quickly their head would spin. Tuesday morning, Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram in for Steve.